Amen. I'm going to turn today to the book of Genesis chapter 8. I'm going to read in your hearing a couple of verses, and I'm picking up where that I had finished a statement with a statement a couple of Sundays ago that God had spoke to me and had wakened me in the early hours of the morning, and he very simply said to me, the curse is broken. Some of you may remember me closing out with that type statement in the process of the lesson. I'm going to pick up with that, and that is going to be the topic of our directions today. The curse is broken. Everybody say with me, the curse is broken. I want to talk to us a little bit on what that means, the responsibilities of it, and how that affects us. What does it mean to us? And how are we responsible at that injuncture? And how does it affect us going forward in our lives? I will tell you as well that just as the postman brings to you the envelope, not knowing what's in it, I'm opening this envelope that God placed in my box this morning or throughout the last 2 weeks. I'm opening this envelope with you. So you pray, as one gentleman said years ago, you pray real good for me today. Because I need that, and I covet your prayers. I appreciate the work of God and the word of God. Genesis chapter 8, this tells us, this is bringing to us an introduction from one era of time to another era of time. There's a closing of a door. There's an opening of a door. There was one transition. This is a transitional time in humanity. If you go back two verses, you will find that it was roughly, and it's not exact, it's not precise, at 2,000 years, but Genesis 6 is somewhere in the neighborhood of a 2,000-year mark from the very beginning of time through Genesis 1 through 5, and then we get 6 going on, and we're talking about Noah. Well, Genesis 8 actually brings us to a close of that. And the flood has abated. God has done what he said he was going to do. And now we find Noah and his family coming off the ark. And there was a time of transition, a change is happening in the earth. It's a complete and total a new era of time. I know you will have different ones that would be scholars that would call it different topics and different names and different captions. For the sake of our working through the word today, we're going to call this the time of Noah from that forward, from this point forward. And we're going to look at, I'm not going to dwell on it just an enormous amount. I'm going to let this be the springboard for which we derive the path that we follow through the word of God today and for our lives. But Noah has just went through a traumatic situation, but not just for himself. The entire earth has been cleansed. It's been cleansed. There's been a lot of stuff going on, and God said, I'm just tired of it. I'm just tired of it. And so he gets a hold of Noah. And this is one of those statements that you find long, long, long before grace was ever considered the era of grace in the New Testament. But the scripture stipulates how Noah found grace. That's what it says. Noah found grace in the eyes of God. That is not just revealing, it's prophetic, but the depthness of Noah's connection with God is really intense. He found grace. He didn't just happen on it. It wasn't just one of those things that all of a sudden God just says, I'm going to. No, Noah found it. He searched for it, much like the little lady that the scripture talks of us to us about in the New Testament, where she had the coins and she lost one, but she swept the house and she cleaned the house until she found that coin. Noah structured his life in such a manner that he found grace. He found it. He did something with his life so that he could uncover the hand of God in his life. The grace of God. Long before grace was ever thought of. It was not the dispensation of grace. God was not in the practice of dispensing grace in this manner. But Noah found it. This is such a description of the connection that Noah had with God. And God tells him, water's abated. It does go through his little process of putting ravens out and doves. And God says, all right, it's time to open the door. So God opens the door. They come out and he gives man a commission yet again. He repeats to Noah and his sons and their families the things that he had spoke to Adam. He repeats this. He establishes again the ability of man to do what man was created for. He doesn't just put them out there and say, okay, do what your thing is. No, he gives directions. You know that God gives directions to our lives if we're willing to receive it? He does. He opened the door to a brand new world. But his commission to humanity was still the same. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. You have dominion. And this is what he says. Now remember, where the starting point of a curse, everybody say a curse. Let me tell you something, all right? Curses are real. They really are. The Bible tells us to be very careful what we say because we shouldn't have blessing and cursing from the same fountain or from the same mouth. Let me read to you what God did and how God did it. For all of you that wonder about talking to yourself, nobody ever does that, do you? I'm the only one that does that. I've got scripture for it, all right? Genesis chapter 8, verse 21, and I did this on purpose for 21 and 22. I did this on purpose, and you're going to see this in just a moment. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, everybody say he talked to himself. I told you, God can do what I can. So don't look at me kind of strange and funny if you hear me talking to myself. God did it. He talked to himself. He said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of, he gives the reason why he understands man because he made man. Said, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Everybody say, the curse is broken. Now, what happens that brings us to this point? What happens that gets God's attention to stop a curse? What directly preceded God making this decision to say, I'm not going to do this again for man? I know he just had a flood. I know he just wiped out everything that was not in the ark. And I realize that humanity had gotten very evil, but something took place that got God's attention, and it was alluded to in the very first part of 21, and it says, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor. That's what got God's attention. But where did that sweet savor come from? If we were to back up to verse 20, it tells us what Noah done that got God's attention. And it's very simple. It says, and Noah builded, and I know that's not our kind of vernacular, but that's what's in here. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Let me just give you just a little snippet here of insight. If you ever wonder about the effectiveness of an altar, let me tell you what it does. It gets God's attention. The prophet of the Old Testament was writing from his spiritual insight. God was letting him see this dispensation of grace, our time. He was letting him see that, and he wrote something that would describe what we as individuals and this era of time would be bringing on an altar. And he says, now remember, Noah has offered a sacrifice, hasn't he? And it came as a sweet-smelling savor. The prophet was writing in the Old Testament later on, years later, and the Bible says they spake as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost. So he was writing what God was revealing to him in his spirit, and he said, bring a sacrifice of praise. That's pretty insightful, isn't it? That's pretty interesting if you understand that we're no longer looking at the sacrifice of goats and bulls, but a sacrifice of praise. This is what gets God's attention. That's why it was so deep when David would close out the whole entire book of Psalms with, I'm going to praise him in the sanctuary. I'm going to praise him with my breath. He was telling us how to get God's attention. He wasn't saying, I'm going to praise him when I feel good or when I feel bad. He just said, I'm going to praise him. I'm going to take the instruments and I'm going to praise him. I'm going to take the timbrets and I'm going to praise him. I'm going to take the trumpets. I'm going to take the stringed instruments, the organs. I'm going to take the drums, the cymbals, and I'm going to take everything that I have, even down to my breath, and I'm going to praise God. He understood what got God's attention. Now, a little bit of information here. David was such an unorthodox individual in his life and his approach to God that even his wife, and you could go into the depthness of her upbringing that had created this ideas and or these ideas and this ideology that she had. Her name was Michal. She was Saul's daughter. And she watched him as they brought the Ark of God into Jerusalem. And man, he got out there and he done some dancing. He got a little wild with it. And then, I mean, you know, he just went off the script, so to speak. The Bible said he danced before the Lord with all of his might. But she was looking down and watching him on in the street, and she said, hey, I want to talk to my husband. So he comes to her after the celebration of that day was. If you want to study that, it was every seven paces. And they would stop and he'd praise God and he'd dance and walk seven more paces and do some more. And he just kept on and it was repetitive for him. He was offering sacrifices of praise. It was getting God's attention. And she said, you've made yourself a vile, vain fella. In front of the daughters of Israel today. She despised praise. It was deep rooted in her upbringings. If you go back and you'll see why David was bringing this ark in. The Bible very specifically stipulates, "For we inquired not of it in all the days of Saul," for 40 years of Saul's reign, the ark was at somebody else's house. And everything that man had was blessed. If that doesn't make you want to embrace the things of God, I'm just telling you, read it and it'll help you. You'll want to embrace the things of God because it'll bless you. And David looked at her because of her spitefulness to praise. This is a powerful lesson, and this is a side note, okay? I told you I'm opening this envelope with you, all right? This is a side note right here. But it says he looked at her, the Bible tells us this, and he said, because of this. And I'm putting my words here now, but you study this out. You've despised how I've praised God. If you thought I was vain today, you just watch me tomorrow. I'm going to be a lot more vile tomorrow. I'm going to be a little more wild tomorrow. But because of your disdain for praise, you'll die childless. And she did. Let me tell you, to every church or individual that does not embrace praising and worshiping, you're killing your future. You'll not have children. Let me tell you where they're flocking, where there's action. That's the truth. I'm serious. If you look at the religions of the world, they've been sustained not by might, or not by spirit, not even by might nor by power. They've just been sustained because of tradition. But tradition don't hold your children. It just won't. You know what praise will do? It'll bring forth children. Because it takes some effort to praise God. Amen? Let's move on. The curse is broken. Everybody say it with me. The curse is broken. So God said to himself in his heart, "I will no longer curse the ground for man's sake." Why was the curse here? What was it doing in place to start with? I'll tell you why. Here's the reason. Because at the very beginning of time, God had created Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve were in the garden. And they were there to worship. The Bible says to dress the garden. He placed man eastward in the Garden of Eden to dress the garden. That word dress translates from the Hebrew to worship, to take care of. That's what we do when we are in the presence of God in our lives. We worship God. Now praise is an action, but worship is an attitude. That's good. Praise is an action. And I'm telling you, honestly and truly, there's been times in my life I could jump with the best and run with the fastest. I don't even try. Because I still can for a short period of time. But my God, I pay for it for days on end. Y'all don't do that, do you? I mean, in my mind, I can still do the things I could in my 20s. But let me tell you, I keep it captured in my mind because there's a maturity there. I even question myself jumping off the side of the truck bed anymore. Oh, no, and there's been a bunch of times I just would never think about it. Just do it and go on, you know, and just turn around and jump right back up there. Nope. I even question it. Why? Because I can tell you why. I got a little older than I was in my 20s. You've heard it too. I heard one man say, if I knew I was going to, it's an old truck driver, and he was tough and rough, and he said, if I knew I was going to live this long, I'd have took better care of myself. He looked like he was about, I don't know, really old. He was just early 50s. He looked a lot older than that. He had seen some rough days. We've all done things that we pay for now that we didn't think about paying for then. Adam was given some things by God himself in the garden. He was put there to worship, to dress that garden, to take care of it. And he had dominion. The Bible says you have dominion over everything. That's what the scripture says. Then we find that because of what took place between Eve and the devil, and then Adam stepped into the picture and became a willing participant, he handed that dominion over. I alluded and read to you or gave you this little bit of information a few weeks back, how that Jesus was led away of the Holy Ghost to be tempted of the devil into the wilderness. He didn't eat for 40 days, and afterwards he was hungered, the Bible says, and the devil came to tempt him and said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. He said, man shall not live by bread. And he used the word. That's why it's important for us to know the word of God. Amen. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So the devil moves on and he carries him to different places. But this one place, he carries him to an exceeding high mountain and he shows him all the kingdoms of the earth. And the devil makes a statement that says, these are mine. And if you'll bow down and worship me, I give power to whom I give power to. That's what he said. And he said, I'll give you all of these kingdoms. Then where did the devil get this dominion, this ability to have dominion in areas of the world? I'll tell you where. Adam gave it to him at the garden. And because of that, God said, I'm going to curse the ground for your sake. Not only for your sake, but for all of humanity's sake. And then we find a man that learns what it is to get God's attention, and he builds an altar, and he gets God's attention. The significance of this is more powerful than what we can even imagine. He builds an altar, and he talks to God, and it gets God's attention. And God said, I'm going to rescind that curse. I'm going to break that curse. But what does this mean for man? What then happens to the responsibility that God has given through dominion? I'll tell you. He places it squarely back into the hands of humanity. But he doesn't do it without equipping man to handle what he has commissioned for him to handle. It comes with responsibility, but it comes with a strong desire that we have to generate within ourselves. To qualify and to clarify that, I will tell you briefly and relate to you the story of the people of God being delivered from Egypt, and they get to the land of Canaan, and they go and spy out the land, and they come back to Moses, and they say, the land surely is flowing with milk and honey, just like you said. It's a wonderful looking place. But we were like grasshoppers in their sight, and also in our own sight. Now remember, he had been telling them, Moses had been telling them all of the time that God had given a promise to Abraham, and it was passed on from generation to generation some 430 years before they came out of Egypt. But he said, I'm going to take you to this land and give it to you, the land of Canaan. Where's this land of Canaan? What does this mean? Why would he give them the land of Canaan? Oh, we could follow this all the way back to Noah. That's where we started this morning, isn't it? Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ham had a son named Canaan. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? Who had a son named Cush. And because of the actions of Ham, Noah opened his mouth and he made a statement. And from that statement, from his mouth, the descendants of Ham were to be cursed, the scripture tells us. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? If you really want to find out how blessing and cursing is passed along, you'll find out that God gave the ability to bless or curse with the words that we speak. You can bless your family or you can curse your family by how you talk to them. God gave us dominion over. And the way he does it is by how we talk, how we conduct ourselves, and how we speak. So I know, I understand that I've thrown a lot of stuff out here thus far, but I'm going to throw a bunch more out here to you because I want you to take some of this stuff home with you, and I want you to let it germinate and come alive in your spirits. The scripture tells us very, very specifically about how we should speak. How many knows that faith comes by hearing? And hearing by the what? The word of God. The word of God. What is spoken to us. According to the book of Romans chapter 10, you'll find that how can we hear without a preacher? And how can he preach lest he be sent? Then drop down a couple of verses, and that's where he says faith cometh by hearing. What is the importance of faith? I'll tell you what it is. According to what Jesus said, he said, and again, he's talking about our word. Remember, the curse is broken, but it's our responsibility to take advantage of and dominion of the areas of curse. The curse is broken. This is why God gave us power after the Holy Ghost has come upon us. That's what he said in the book of Acts, isn't it? Acts chapter 2, you shall receive power. Amen. Thank God for this power. Amen. But it's not power that we're to take lightly. It's not power that just comes and all of a sudden we're to let it lie dormant. It is power to be exercised against the principalities and against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world. This is what Paul wrote to us in Ephesians, isn't it? And Jesus laid the foundation for this when he would say this statement. He would say, I'll tell you, if you have faith as of a grain of mustard seed, get you a shovel and start digging the mountain. No, that's not what he said. He said, you could say unto this mountain, you could speak. speak unto this mountain. Ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you that one of the greatest powers of God that is transferred into our lives come to us through the preaching of the word and us being receptive of the word. And the way that is transferred to the issues of life doesn't happen just because. It happens because we believe and we say. I understand this class, all right? So I'm talking to this class. I'm not talking to the other classes. I'm talking to this class this morning. There comes a point in time in our lives that we understand this little statement. Let's work smarter, not harder. Amen? The same way applies in our worship and in our praise. There comes a point in time that, as I mentioned earlier, we may not jump as high as we used to. We shouldn't feel bad about it. We know how to fight devils without jumping today. We've already done our jumping. We've done our running. We've done our shouting. I'm not saying if it hits you, get it. Do it to it. That's what happens with me. But I've learned that God has given us dominion. And it doesn't come with how high I jump. It comes with the faith in which I speak. If you say unto this mountain. So why is it then, if I hear the word of God, this is good stuff right here. If I hear the word of God and I'm sitting down right beside somebody that is just across the aisle from me, and I get so moved and stirred by the word, but that same word doesn't do something for them, let me tell you why. I'll tell you why. Have you ever wondered that? I have. I'll tell you why. According to the scripture, according to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 4, it says that they heard the word, speaking of the people of the Old Testament, speaking of the children of Israel as they came out of Egypt, and they did not mix it with faith. And it didn't profit them. Go home, read it. Hey, Hebrews chapter 4, you'll see what I'm talking about. But he said, if we'll take the word and we'll mix it with faith. Let me tell you what happens when you get a preacher up and the word is going forth and he just starts really getting with it and it ministers to your spirit. It's because somebody out there is pulling out of him with faith the things of the word of God. And he crosses into new territory that he's never crossed into before because somebody is sitting there. They're hungry for the things of God. Blessed is he who hungereth thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. With joy shall you all draw waters out of the well of salvation. If you'll take the word of God and you'll mix it with faith, you're pulling from heaven the very things that you need to get through the responsibility of a broken curse. So what does it mean to have a broken curse? You know what the curse did? It put a limit on what could take place. And God said, I'm taking the limits off. I'm breaking the curse. I'm stopping the curse. There's no limit to the things that God can do. But the way God does them is through us. Do I believe in dominions? Do I believe in the spiritual wickedness in high places? Absolutely. I believe in a regional and area and family curses. I believe in those things. You know why? Because they're real. Generation after generation can struggle financially because of a curse of poverty. I believe that. You can name all different sorts of different ideas that a family has struggled with and have struggled with in this area or in that area, and some people in other regions. I mean, even Daniel prayed, the Bible said, for 21 days, and finally the angel of the Lord said, I would have been here sooner. I heard you the first day, but the prince of Persia withstood me. There was a regional spirit. But God said, I broke the curse. I've lifted the curse. Sure, there's spiritual wickedness in high places, but God has given us the power to overcome those things. And the way it is overcome, ladies and gentlemen, we get God's attention through our sacrifice of praise. We hear the word of God, and it imparts unto us, it's a transference of faith, of the ability to believe in God. You say, oh, but I may not can remember the message that I've heard. That's okay. You just get into the presence of the word of God, and what it does, if you'll just believe what the word of God comes as your life is influenced by that, what it does is transfers the ability to believe into your life. You may not remember the word, but you'll have the effect of the word. There's no way you can remember every meal you've ever eaten in your life, is there? Some of them are a little bit more memorable than others, but I mean, there's no way you can remember every little bite that you've ate. You don't remember every word that you've heard, but the effect of that word. That's why we have a word that comes to us. That's why David would write in 23, the 23rd Psalm, that I've got a table prepared before me in the presence of mine enemies. Why? Because God is feeding us with the word. He is giving us something that will sustain us in the day of adversity. When the curse is broken and we need to step in responsibility of what God wants us to have and exercise dominion over, he will give us the words to speak, but the way we have to speak it is through faith that we get from the word of God. That's how we live. Therefore, the responsibility is controlling how we talk, controlling how we think directs how we talk. For from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Amen. Jesus would look at a time in Luke chapter 8 and he would go to sleep. He said, let's go get in the ship and let's go to the other side. And he'd get in there and he'd go to sleep. Well, the Bible tells us that the storm came. And they woke him up. You don't even care that we perish? He said, oh, ye of little faith. And the Bible says he'd get up and he rebuked the wind and the sea. And it obeyed him. And they marveled. He said it comes from faith. Let's go back to the book of Matthew. And right prior to this story, there was a man by the name of Jairus, a centurion, and came to Jesus. And he said, I've got a servant at home. And he's sick. He said, well, I'll just come to your house and I'll heal him. And he said, oh, no, I'm a man under authority. That's what he said. That's kind of an odd choice of words, isn't it? I'm a man under authority, but I say unto this servant to go, and he goes. And I say unto this one, come, and he comes. And he said, I know how it is. You just speak the word. And Jesus said, I have not found so great a faith in all of Israel. And he spoke the word. And his servant was healed from that hour, the scripture says. Ladies and gentlemen, God has given us a great commission and a great power through his word. And it's not just by happenstance that we are hearing the word of God. We may not remember every title that we hear, but God is transferring to us the faith that we need to speak to the mountains that come in our lives. The situations that arise, whatever they may be, whatever the circumstances, I can remember very vividly. My sister at 29 passed away with cancer. I had prayed, our whole family had prayed very, very vehemently. And we just were thinking that God was going to heal her, even at the point of death. And she died. I can remember the very next service that I stepped back up to the front of the church and I began to sing. I've got one more reason to go to heaven for than I had yesterday. I remember stepping back up and still preaching the power of faith. Do you know why? Because I still believed God. I still believed Him. Did I lose my sister at 29 years old? Yes, I did. And did I question the antics of what they did with treatment? Absolutely. But it never caused my faith in God to waver. Do you know why? I'll tell you why. Because I'd had a lifetime until that point, short lifetime that it was, of exposure to the Word. I didn't remember every message. I didn't remember how to quote every scripture. But I'd had a lot of faith transferred to me through the Word. And the Bible says when you do that, you'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. And what'll happen is you'll bring forth your fruit in your season. Your leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever you do shall prosper. Ladies and gentlemen, the curse is broken. The curse is broken. And the responsibility of our time, this is the season to bring forth fruit. And the way that we're going to bring forth fruit is how we speak to the mountain. It's how we talk. This is our responsibility. This is what God has given to us. Oh, I could go back and tell you about the time right after the flood and all of the people had been commissioned, go forth and replenish the earth, and they didn't. They just all got together at a place called Babel. Do you know how God got them to dispense and go their ways? By confusing their language, didn't he? Yeah. Do you know what happened in the book of Acts? After that, the Holy Ghost came upon him and they were all filled. There were 17 different nationalities, and what happened to them? They began to just grow and multiply right there. And God said, wait a minute, wait a minute. You got to go onto all the earth and carry it to every creature. And he had to send something to dispense them out because of the power of what they were to say. And he gave them that power through their language. This is our time, ladies and gentlemen. If it was any other time, we'd have been born in it. This is our time, our responsibility. Let's pray. God, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for your power. We're thankful for your people. Help us, God, to take this that we have been in the presence of today, receive it with meekness, and help us to let it germinate in our lives, to bring forth fruit in our season. Help us to understand this is our season. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. The curse is broken. It makes a total different idea in our lives, doesn't it?